Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, Chapter 9, Lord Chaitanya's Travels to the Holy Places, Text 64, Translation and Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu next arrived at Tirupati and Tirumala, where he saw a four-handed deity. Then he proceeded toward Venkata Hill. Purport. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has actually described the chronological order of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's visit. The Tirupati temple is sometimes called Tirupatura. It is situated on the northern side of Arcot in the district of Chandragiri. It is a famous holy place of pilgrimage. In pursuance of his name, Venkateshwara, the four-handed Lord Vishnu, the deity of Balaji, with his potencies named Shri and Bhu, is located on Venkata Hill, about 8 miles from Tirupati. This Venkateshwara deity is in the form of Lord Vishnu, and the place where he is situated is known as Venkata Kshetra. There are many temples in southern India, but this Balaji temple is especially opulent. A great fair is held there in the month of Ashwin, September-October. There is a railway station called Tirupati on the southern railway. Nimna Tirupati is located in the valley of Venkata Hill. There are several temples there also, among which are those of Govindaraj and Lord Ramachandra. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Kurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padang Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Nitinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. We are following Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on his pilgrimage in South India. And most of these places are places where the Lord is worshipped in a mood of awe and reverence, in the mood of Vaikuntha. One time, some years ago, one devotee asked me, he said, why should we discuss these places or talk about this place or even go to these places? After all, we are devotees in the footsteps of the Brajavasis. So we should only talk about Vrindavan. And why should we talk so much about Vaikuntha, where the Lord is worshipped in a mood of awe and reverence? Indeed, it is a fact that our aspiration is to follow in the footsteps of the Brajavasis and love Krishna in that mood. However, there are certain other points to consider. By whose teachings have we understood that we have to follow in the footsteps of the Brajabasis, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has spoken words to his followers and they have written books. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has also spoken by his actions, by his example. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has personally visited all these places, walked to every one of these places, too numerous to mention, as Kaviraj Goswami admits in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And therefore we find only a few of those places mentioned. Mahaprabhu actually traveled to many, many other places, some of which are not even mentioned here. So Mahaprabhu thought it fit to take the trouble to go to these holy places and walk there. And he actually experienced a lot of transcendental ecstasy when he had darshan of these deities. He chanted there, he danced there. So if it is worthy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu going, surely it's worthy for us to also go and discuss. As I mentioned on the first day, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has also said, Gaur Amar Jeshav Sthane Korala Brahmana Range Sheshav Sthane Heribo Ami Pranay Bhakata Sange. He said, all those places where Gauranga Mahaprabhu visited in great transcendental ecstasy, I would also like to visit in the company of the loving devotees of the Lord. So Mahaprabhu went to these places. Srila Kaviraj Goswami has described these visits. Srila Prabhupada has commented. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has commented at length on many of these pastime places. So that's why we also need to hear about them and if possible sometimes visit them. And also they are very nourishing for our devotional kripa. Because in the Bhagavatam we find all these pastimes that are related to Vaikuntha. Except in the 10th canto where we have the Vrindavan Leela. And for a few excerpts here and there in other portions of the Bhagavatam, most of the Bhagavatam is Vaikuntha Leela. Whether it's Prahlad Maharaj, whether it's Dhruva Maharaj, you know, this pastime of Gajendra, and so many other pastimes. So therefore, to make our devotion more complete and well-rounded, it is essential for us to also have an understanding of the Vaikuntha Bhava, the mood of Vaikuntha, and also to gain some spiritual or devotional nourishment from these things, from these places and these pastimes. Because after all, they are the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. So inasmuch as we would like to cherish the mood of Vrindavan and follow that, hearing and chanting about these places and visiting them also can help us to purify our heart. And then we continue with our understanding of Sri Vrindavan Dham. So yesterday, we talked about the banks of the Godavari, Vidyanagar, where Mahaprabhu met Ramananda Rai. Then he moved on to Sri Shaila, a famous place where Lord Shiva resides. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met Shiva and Parvati there. And he had a very intimate conversation with Lord Shiva, Krishna Katha. We also talked about Panakala Narasimha in Mangalagiri, where the Lord drinks jaggery water. And then we came to Ahobilam, the place of 9 Narasimha shrines, deities. Nava Narasimha. Nava means 9. So there are 9 very famous deities of Lord Narasimha in this place called Ahobilam or Ahobalam. And we talked about each of those deities and also the significance of that place. Then from Ahobilam, Mahaprabhu moved on. Ahobilam is not too far from Tirupati. So now we'll talk about Tirupati and Tirumala. So this is arguably the most famous temple probably in the world. in India definitely, but even in the whole world. It has something like minimum of 25,000 people visiting every single day. I think, how many do you get on Janmashtami here at the manor? 50,000 over the day. And you have to prepare for months in advance for that one day. Yes, for those 2 days. In Tirupati you have 25,000 minimum every day. And on festivals it can be 100,000, it can be much more than that even. So it's a very famous temple. And it's certainly the most opulent one. And people go there. I've personally seen, I remember the when we went to Tirupati many years ago, there was a devotee, and he was coming for the first time from the U.S. And Srila Prabhupada's disciple. So we were there, and he was so overwhelmed, we took out his engagement ring, put a marriage ring or whatever, he put it in the undi. And his wife was there, "What are you doing?" Because he was so overwhelmed by the mood of devotion, because everyone he was seeing, you know, the hundi is a different style. You can't have this kind of a hundi. You know, because there's so much that comes in that this would fill up in no time. And they're given not just notes of currency, but they put in all their jewelry. So much, the heaps of jewelry, they just come and put it in there. You see, gold and silver, whatever, diamonds and whatever else they have to put. So when he saw this, he just got so moved that he said, "These people are not so wealthy, but they just come and give whatever they have, and this is the only thing I have. Why don't I just give that?" So in many ways, you see this as a place of faith, you know, and devotion. So many people come there and share and give so much of their wealth to the Lord. And the collections here are massive, the kind of money that they get here. But it's well managed. It's called TTD, Tirupati Tirumala Devasthanams, I think. And Srila Prabhupada mentioned that in ISKCON we should learn how to manage our temples from the TTD, because their temple management is so perfect. The old town on top of the hill is just so clean, and there are facilities for these thousands and thousands of pilgrims who come every day. There's accommodation facilities, they give free prasadam to everybody. There are meticulous arrangements for the crowds, for the lines, for the prasadam distribution. Everything is just well organized. So Srila Prabhupada wanted us to learn from that. Actually, there are and by the way, the famous prasadam, what's the famous prasadam of Tirupati? The laddu. It's a kind of a recipe that you won't forget the taste when you leave. So there's a big yellow laddu with many ingredients. And they distribute almost 100,000 such laddus every day. And the cooks are paid in laddus. The cooks who cook these, if they, for every 1,000 laddus that they make, they get 52 laddus as payment, which they can sell or they can do whatever. So that's how, you know, that's part of the remuneration system over there. Quite interesting. So anyway, that's a famous thing, a famous laddu prasadam. Now, generally when we speak of Tirupati, we refer to this temple, Tirumala of Venkateshwara or Balaji. But there are two places, Tirupati and Tirumala, as we see in the verse that we chanted and also in the purport. Tirupati is the town at the foothills, and Tirumala is the town on the top of the hill. So that's the famous place where the shrine or the temple of Lord Balaji is. But generally we say Tirupati, "I'm going to Tirupati." What we mean is we're going to Tirumala. But nevertheless, it's the same. Tiru means Lakshmi, Pati means Lord. So it's a place of Lord Vishnu. Now this whole area is considered very pure. If you remember, yesterday we were talking about the Eastern Ghats, that is the eastern coastline of peninsular India. And a large portion of that is considered a form of Adi Shesha, the serpent bed of Lord Vishnu. And we mentioned yesterday how these hills of Tirupati, they represent the hoods. And then Ahobilam represents the stomach of Adi Shesha. And then Sri Shaila represents the tail. So that's how Adi Shesha has, you know, spread like that. And there's a history for that also. One time, Vayu, the wind god, and Shesha, the incarnation, the Shaktavesha incarnation of the Lord, who's always glorifying the Lord and who's supporting the Lord, they got into a discussion on who was stronger. So then Shesha wrapped himself around the Meru mountain and challenged Vayu to blow. So Vayu blew and blew and blew with all his might, and he managed to blow off a portion of the Meru mountain. So Shesha was unsuccessful in holding on. So he felt very ashamed. A portion of the Meru mountain that blew off, it traveled a long distance, and then the Lord asked Vayu to place it wherever it had landed, wherever it was flying at that time. So it landed there. But Shesha was very ashamed. So he came down to earth to perform penances. He performed austerities for a long time. Finally, Lord Vishnu appeared before him. And then he said, what can I do? I'm very pleased with your penances. So he said, let me stay here as a hill and serve you. And you please reside on top of me. So therefore, Adi Shesha, he formed this whole range of hills. And we'll talk more about it shortly in some time. So, therefore, there are seven hills. And on one of those hills is Venkatachala, Venkatadri, where the Tirumala hill is located. Srila Prabhupada also mentions here about Venkata hill. Venkata Adri, Chale. Adri means also hill. So, this place is Tirumala is roughly about 3,000 something feet above sea level. So it's kind of pleasant, the climate, very nice. And the seven peaks here in the Tirumala hills are interesting because each of them are special, each of them is holy. There's Sheshadri, Neeladri, Garudadri, Anjanadri, Vrishabhadri, Narayanadri and Venkatadri. So these are the, Adri means hill, so these are the seven hills, seven peaks of Adi Shesha. And Venkatadri, the specific peak on which the Tirumala deity, Tirumala is located, is the Venkata peak. Okay, so many times you'll hear these terms, Sheshachala, Sheshadri, Venkatadri. So this is the brief thing about it. What's the meaning of the word Venkata? The Lord on top, as Prabhupada mentions here, is called Venkateshwara. The hill is called Venkatadri or Venkata Hill. What's the meaning of the word Venkata? Yes. Vaikuntha? No, etymologically, that means you break up the word. What does it mean? It is Vaikuntha, yes. But what does the word mean? It is said Venk means sin, Kata means to destroy. So Venkata means that which destroys sin. This is a recurring theme we will find here in this region. So Venkata or Venkateshwara is that Lord who destroys our sins. And Venkatadri is that hill on which by going away where our sins will be destroyed. So, it's a very, very ancient temple, and it's mentioned in the Rig Veda, and at least in 12 of the Puranas, there is mention of this, which is quite something. So, we can understand that this place is really very important. It has great Puranic significance. And particularly the Bhavishya Purana, the Bhavishyottara Purana and the Varaha Purana mentioned in great detail. And Venkateshwara is also called Kaliyuga Varada form. That means he is meant to give benedictions and boons in this age of Kali. So he's specifically regarded as the bestower of boons. And that would probably be one reason why thousands of people go there. Because many people who go there don't go there with the idea of pure devotion in their hearts. They go there with some material motive. Because he's known as one who gives benedictions, so they often go and ask for material boons. So you'll find many people go and offer their hair, even ladies sometimes, or not sometimes, many times. Ladies or men, children, they shave their head and they offer, you know, it's the custom. Because you sacrifice your hair for the pleasure of Venkateshwara. But many times these devotees have material desires, so they would do so for some material benefit in return. And there are many people who like to cut deals with Venkateshwara. There's this little joke which I like to tell about this businessman who went to Venkatadri, to Tirumala temple. And he gave some donations and then he stood in front of Balaji and made a deal. He said, "Look, Lord Balaji, I'm about to go for negotiations for a business contract. And if you make this contract happen, then I'll give you 50%. Okay? So he made this deal. So he had this one-to-one thing with Balaji. He said, "Okay, done." Yes, so he went away. Now, as it happened, his deal was for a certain amount. But this contract happened only for half of that amount. Somehow he didn't get the full deal. So the contract happened, but for half the amount that he had hoped for. Now, whatever amount it was, he should have come and given 50% of whatever he got to Balaji as per the deal. But he didn't. So some time passed and then Lord Balaji appeared in a dream and said, "Hey, what happened? You know, you're supposed to fulfill your part of the deal." He said, "Well, you already took away 50%, you know, right in the beginning. So why should I give the other 50%, you know?" So anyway, you will find many people coming there. Some come with a ritualistic motive, some with some material motive. Many would also come with a genuinely devotional motive. In any case, even if they come with material motives, at least they're not going to rob a bank or something. You know, even if they have some grief and they want relief from that grief, at least they're not committing suicide or they're not, you know, taking intoxication or something. They're coming to Lord Balaji, "Please give us some relief." So, in any case, there are many people who come like this, and specifically because of his reputation for granting boons, which actually happen, so many people flock in large numbers. So the Lord here is known as not only Venkateshwara, but also as Balaji, as Srinivas, as Govinda, or Venkatachalapati. Achala also means the hill, Pati means the Lord. So the Lord of the hill known as Venkata. So he has all these numerous names. There's also a long history of royal dynasties who have protected the shrine and who have worshipped there and who have also offered a great deal of wealth. It's been almost like a competitive spirit between successive royal dynasties who have done so much for this temple and the area around. No wonder the temple has become so wealthy. Shri Shri Radha Gokulanand ki jai, Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai, Shri Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. And the main deity . So here you have the surrounding Sheshachalam or Tirumala Hills. It's a very beautiful place, by the way. And especially if you go in winter, it's very pleasant. And you have to go up the hill. And many devotees climb. You know, it's... of course, those who have health issues or are elderly, they go by bus. So it's a very beautiful scenic locale. And when you stand there and look around, you know, it is a divine experience if you're going in the right mood. And here you'll find some glimpses of the temple as well. And this is the deity of Lord Balaji, Lord Venkateshwara. Now, he's a self-manifest deity. He's about 6 feet tall, made of black stone. He has four arms, as is mentioned in the verse here in Chaitanya Charitamrita. In the upper two arms, he holds a conch shell and a disc. Can you see that? The upper two arms. One of the lower arms is offering benediction. It is facing outwards. That's called the Varada Mudra. Mudra means the posture and Varada means granting benedictions. So very often you will see Vedic divinities, they offer their blessings like this. You know, by giving blessings or like this. They offer blessings or they give a boon. Like that. And this is one of probably the most ornamented deities in any temple you'll find. The kind of ornamentation of diamonds and emeralds and rubies and gold is just unbelievable, incredible. And on top, do you notice at this side there is a golden colored dome at the back? So the tower that you see in the front is the doorway called the Gopuram. And then you go inside and you see the golden dome, smaller in size. That is, below that is the deity of Venkateshwara. And it is said that it is covered in hammered solid gold. And that's why the color. So it's a gilt dome. It's called Ananda Nilaya Divya Vimana. And it has, the deity has a helmet with an emerald in the center. Can you see the emerald there? The red colored emerald. And sometimes he adorns a full diamond helmet, a kirit. In Sanskrit it's called a kirit or a mukut. Full. And there's one particular diamond helmet that was made in Antwerp in Belgium. You know, Antwerp is the diamond capital of the world. So this was specifically made there and is considered the single most expensive item of jewelry in the whole world. The one that was made for Lord Balaji at Antwerp. And it was offered. And routinely you find news items that some wealthy person has offered a crown of you know, a very, very expensive diamond crown or something like that. So people offer, they have that faith. He also has Makara Kundala, which means shark-shaped earrings. And you will see that there is a white tilak there that covers his eyes partly. There's a history behind it. There are several reasons. One reason they say is that the eyes of the Lord are so beautiful that if the devotees actually get to see these eyes, then they'll not want to leave the place. Then they'll stay there. And nobody else will be able to come to take darshan because they'll just remain over there. So that's one reason it is said that it's covered. The eyes are partially covered. Another reason they say is that the Lord's gaze is so piercing that it can scorch the entire world because there are many sinful people around. So if he looks, it'll scorch the world. So to protect the world also, his eyes have to be covered a little bit. And another reason pertains to a pastime that happened, which I'll come to shortly. So anyway, this deity is one of the most heavily ornamented deities that you can see anywhere. And so then, this is another view of the Gopuram. That's the gateway, the doorway. And you see the gilded dome, the Ananda Nilaya Vimanam at the back there, beautifully lit. So you have to climb up. There are about 4,000 steps. Now that is about 16 kilometers. It is from Tirupati to Tirumala. And it's 24 kilometers by bus. But you have to go round and round up the ghats. So on the way, there is a small temple dedicated to Sri Ramanujacharya. It is said that Ramanujacharya, when he came to Tirumala, he walked up on his knees, not on his feet, because he didn't want to place his feet on Adi Shesha, who is worshipable, you know. And there are also several other deities on the way up. So in the Puranas, it is said that the Lord was looking around for some place for sporting on earth. So he asked Brahma and he chose this place, Sheshachala, and therefore the Lord descended here. There are many places here around. You know, Tirumala is like a town in itself, you see. And you can spend a whole day there wandering around Tirumala. Of course, a long part of that will be just standing in line to get inside the big temple, the main temple. But even once you're done there, there are so many places to go. So this is Akash Ganga, which is considered a sacred waterfall, 5 kilometers south of the temple. And the water for the Lord's bathing, for his daily abhishek, is brought from here. Also, along the way, you have another sacred waterfall called Papa Vinashana Tirtha. Papa is sin, Vinashana is destroying. So it is said that by bathing in this waterfall, you destroy your sins. So you'll find at both these waterfalls that are many people who go there and take bath. And especially in the summer season, people come there and they have a good time. Probably many don't come with the idea of releasing the sins. They just come there because it's fun. But anyway, they come, their sins get destroyed. But they must then take to a path of devotion. Otherwise, it becomes like the bathing of an elephant. And then there are various festivals that happen there. Brahmotsavam is the most famous festival. It is said that Brahma himself descends or had descended to celebrate this festival along with the demigods. So Brahmotsavam is a huge festival there, very widely known and celebrated, and pilgrims come in very large numbers. Here's a bird's eye view of the whole campus. This is typical South Indian temple architecture, where you will find a gateway, then there is a huge enclosure, and within that enclosure there will be other gateways leading up to the main sanctum sanctorum, so to speak, the altar of the deity. And you can see the hills in the background. And this is another sacred waterfall that's called Kapila Tirtham, that's located at some place around. It's a sacred tank. It is said that the sage Kapila was given darshan by Lord Shiva and Parvati here. And it is said that anyone who comes here is also relieved from all sins. Yeah, this is our Tirupati ISKCON temple. This is at the foothills in Tirupati town. It's quite a nice temple. And here, interestingly, they have deities of Krishna, Radha Krishna, with the Ashta Sakhis. So here you have a mood of Vrindavan in the ISKCON temple with the Ashta Sakhis there, the 8 gopis, in a place that has the mood of Vaikuntha. So quite interesting. Here is the temple of Govindaraj Swami in Tirupati. Now we're talking of this town on the foothills. Prabhupada mentions that here in the purport. That's the reason I'm also mentioning it. He said there are several temples there also, among which are Govindaraj and Lord Ramachandra. Govindaraj is said to be the brother of Venkateshwara. So he's there. And then there is the Padmavati temple at some distance from Tirupati. And there's a legend about it. I'll come to that in a moment. And the Kodandaram temple at Tirupati. The bow of Lord Ram is called Kodanda. So Ram is often addressed as Kodandaram. And it is said that Mahaprabhu also visited this temple. And he actually, in the next verse itself, it says that, yeah, here we are. In text 65, Tripati Asiya Koilo Sri Ramadarshana Raghunatha Age Koilo Pranamastavana. After arriving at Tirupati, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited the temple of Lord Ramachandra. He offered his prayers and obeisances before Ramachandra, the descendant of King Raghu. So this Kodandaram temple is where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, enchanted and danced before Lord Ramachandra. And coming to Padmavati, she is the wife of Lord Venkateshwara. Now there's a brief history I'd like to narrate. It so happened that, as narrated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the demigods deputed Bhrigu, sage Bhrigu, to go and determine which of the three divinities, Brahma, Vishnu or Shiva, was supreme. So it's a story in itself. But Bhrigu came back with the report that Vishnu was supreme. You know, Lord Shiva, and Brahma, they failed the test. One had glanced at him with anger. The other had spoken words of anger. So they said, no. Bhrigu said, they can't be the Supreme Lord. But when he went to Lord Vishnu, he went to and kicked his chest with his feet. And Lord Vishnu didn't get annoyed. He rather rose and took the feet of Bhrigu Rishi and started massaging them and said, my dear sage, my chest is very hard like a stone and your feet are soft and they must have got hurt when they kicked my chest. So let me massage them to relieve them of some pain. So Bhrigu was astounded and he came back speechless and finally declared that Lord Vishnu is supreme. So the legend goes that Lakshmi Devi, who was sitting there at the lotus feet of the Lord, was very unhappy at the way Bhrigu Rishi dealt with the Lord. So in great anguish, she came away to the earth to do penances. And she came to a certain place and resided there. Do you know which place that is? Kolhapur. It is in the state of Maharashtra, in the southern border of Maharashtra. Now, when Lord Vishnu realized that Lakshmi was no longer there, he became disturbed. So he left Vaikuntha and came to earth to search for her. Where is Lakshmi gone? You know, so he came looking and then he couldn't find her. So he came to Sheshachala and he decided, let me stay here and do some penance. So then he was there doing penance on this hill. Now, finally, Lakshmi Devi understood that her Lord was here. So she requested Brahma and Shiva to do something about it and at least to see that he gets good food. Because, you know, wife gets very anxious to see if the husband is eating well, what's happened, he's not eaten. So Brahma and Shiva took the form of a cow and a calf. And every day this cow would go to this little hill and she would empty her udders on top of the hill. And when she came back, she wouldn't have any milk left. So the cowherd became very annoyed. And he came with the cow to find out what the reason was, who was drinking this milk. So, and he found that she was just spontaneously giving her milk on top of the hill. So he went there and found that there was Lord Balaji's deity. And so he struck in anger, he struck with a stick, and therefore it hurt the Lord on his forehead. The Lord was underneath there, so it must have been submerged over a period of time. You know, the ravages of time are such that deities and temples get submerged sometimes, so therefore there was a cut and there was bleeding and he was aghast. So then the Lord asked for some cooling camphor. So then he brought some camphor and put it. And that's the reason why the Lord has that, yeah, the sandal paste, that camphor paste, that white colored paste. That's the third reason why they say that the Lord has this paste on his forehead to cool him down because it had been bleeding and so on. So, and finally, that's So then that happened there. Meanwhile, the Lord said, you have committed a big offense, but you are only a servant. The master is responsible for the acts of the servant. So he cursed the king. So the king rushed to the Lord and begged forgiveness for the acts of his servant. So the Lord, being very kind-hearted, forgave him. But he says, okay, but in the next life you'll have to be born as another king, and you will have to give your daughter's hand in marriage to me. So in the next life, this king came as a king called Aksharaj, who had a daughter whose name was Padmavati, and then a grand marriage ceremony was performed. And then Lord Venkateshwara was married off to Balaji. So therefore, Padmavati, there is a temple dedicated to Padmavati in Tirupati, at the foothills here. And every year once, there is a grand festival that commemorates the marriage ceremony, the wedding ceremony of Padmavati and Lord Balaji. So, on Tirumala, on the deity of Balaji, on one side, right side, I think you will find Lakshmi, on the left side, you will find Padmavati. So, both his consorts are there. And on either side, the Utsava Murti, those deities that are taken out on procession, especially during the Brahmotsava, you find his Shaktis, his potencies in Vaikuntha, the Bhu Shakti and the Shri Shakti, also there. This is a bit of the legend. And also, Balaji had to take a loan for this whole big wedding ceremony and everything. So he went to the treasurer of the demigods, Kubera. So he took a loan. It was a big loan. And so there was a, you know, mortgage, and there was a whole, you know, payment, you know, monthly payment, yearly payment, how much you have to pay and all that. So once a year till today, the descendants of Kuber, they come to take the yearly installment of money, the mortgage payment. And then all the devotees rush to Balaji and give donations to help him, to bail him out, because he doesn't have so much money to pay. Even though he gets a huge fortune in donations, but even that is not enough. So many other devotees come and they give donations to help bail out Lord Venkateshwara. So Kubera's descendants are satisfied for that year. At least they get their quota. So they go back and come back the next year. So we have all these beautiful festivals being done over here. So anyway, that's so much for Tirupati, Tirumala. Yeah, and this is the temple of Lord Ram here. So we'll move on now from Tirupati. Actually, each of these places you can spend a few days and have lots of katha and discussion, see these places and so on. So from here on, we'll move to the next place that Mahaprabhu went. It's called the Kalahasti Temple. It's also a temple of Lord Shiva. Once again, you notice the typical architecture. Although it's a temple of Lord Shiva, but the architecture is common, whether they're Vaishnava shrines, Shaiva shrines, the tall gopurams, and the actual sanctum, sanctorum, as they call it, the garbha griha, the altar. That's also very tall. And here also you have on the hill a temple of Parvati, the consort of Lord Shiva. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came here, he had darshan here. Then he moved on. This is Kalahastishwara, the deity of Lord Shiva, and Parvati also. And this is Kanchipuram. So Kanchipuram, how many of you have heard of Kanchipuram? Okay. At least the ladies must have heard, because it's famous for saris. Kanchipuram saris, very famous. Silk saris. So there are two places of relevance here, Shiva Kanchi and Vishnu Kanchi. So the main town of Kanchipuram, Pura means town, is called Shiva Kanchi. And there you have this temple of Lord Shiva. He is known here as Ekambareshwarar. So Mahaprabhu came here, he had darshan, and that's mentioned in the 68th verse of the 9th chapter. Shiva Kanchi Asiya Kailo Shiva Darshana Prabhave Vaishnama Kailo Sabha Saiva Gana Arriving at Shivakanchi, which is this place that you see here in the picture, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited the deity of Lord Shiva. By his influence, he converted all the devotees of Lord Shiva into Vaishnavas. Purport. Shivakanchi is also known as Kanchipuram, or the Banaras of southern India. In Shivakanchi, there are hundreds of temples containing symbolic representations of Lord Shiva. And one of these temples is said to be very, very old. This is the one that Prabhupada is referring to. And then, some miles away from the main town of Kanchipuram, there is Vishnu Kanchi. You know, this Kanchipuram and this whole area around is very important, especially for Sri Vaishnavas, followers of Ramanujacharya. The Sri Vaishnavas accept, or they believe in 108 Divya Desams, places where the Lord appeared. Vrindavan is also one of them, and Ayodhya, and many other places. So of these 108, as many as 15 are here in Kanchipuram. So one can imagine how important it is for Sri Vaishnavas. And this temple that we see in front of us now is the Varadaraj Perumal Temple, the most famous Vaishnava temple of this area. This is called Vishnu Kanchi. And in the next verse, Kaviraj Goswami talks about that. Vishnu Kanchi Ashi Dekhila Lakshmi Narayana Pranama Koriya Koila Bahutastavana. The Lord then visited a holy place known as Vishnu Kanchi. There he saw Lakshmi Narayana deities, and he offered his respects and many prayers to please them. Purport. Vishnu Kanchi is situated about 5 miles away from Kanchipuram. It is here that Lord Varadaraj, another form of Lord Vishnu, resides. There is also a big lake known as Ananta Sarovar. So you see the Ananta Sarovar here, and you see also the temple of Lord Varadaraj. Vara means benediction or a boon. Da means one who gives. So Varada refers to the giver of boons, and Raj means the king. So here Vishnu is known as the king amongst those who bestow boons. It's the name of Lord Vishnu. So in this region, Kanchipuram region, this is the most famous temple. And the Sri Vaishnavas consider this a very, very holy place. There are many pastimes of the Sri Vaishnavas that have happened here. And Mahaprabhu also arrived here. By the way, in Kanchipuram is also one of the Saptapuris. Puri means town. There are 7 towns that are considered capable of awarding moksha or liberation to the faithful. So it is said in the Puranas, in the Garuda Purana specifically, that there are 7 such towns which are called Moksha Puris or Sapta Puris, and they are Ayodhya, number 1, number 2, Mathura, number 3, Haridwar, number 4, Varanasi, number 5, Ujjain, number 6, Dwarka, and number 7, Kanchipuram. So this is one of the Moksha Puris or the Sapta Puris. So Ramanujacharya also stayed here for some time. There are many pastimes associated with him, but we have to move on. So from here, there are other places. I'm only selecting a few of the important places because we won't have enough time to talk about every single place. And next is the very, very famous holy place of Sri Rangam. So the Lord here is known as Ranganath Swami. And very, very famous deity. Sri Rangam is an island that is located between two rivers. The Kaveri River on one hand, which is one of the 7 holy rivers of India. You know, for those of you who are pujaris and you purify the water, yeah, what do you say? Gangecha, Yamunechaiva, Godavari, Saraswati, Narmade, Sindhu, Kaveri, Jalasmin, Sannidhim, Kuru. So Kaveri is also mentioned when you invoke the holy rivers, when purifying your water for Achaman, then you also invoke the name of Kaveri. So there is Kaveri River and there is this, one of its distributaries, I forget its name now, so Kolidam, I think. So this island of Srirangam is located between these two rivers. So it's like an island. And this temple is huge. It's considered the largest functioning temple in the whole world. And the basic layout or architecture is the same. There are these gopurams, the doorways, gateways, and enclosures. And Srirangam temple has seven such enclosures. There's the outermost enclosure, the whole wall going around with the gopuram. Then inside you have another wall going around with the gateway. And then another one, and seven such layers of walls, enclosures and gateways. And in between two gateways, lots going on there. There are many people who reside there. It's like a whole township in itself. A whole big town. And then you go inwards, you go past the seven and then enter into the main one. And so let's look at some pictures. See, massive gopurams. Architectural marvels of some sort, you see. You can see inside another gateway. Gateway behind gateways. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came here also. He spent 4 months of the Chaturmasi season, the rainy season here. And he had elaborate discussions with Venkata Bhatta. Again, the name Venkata comes here. Yeah, it's a common name in South India, Venkata. And so he stayed there. Gopal Bhatta was here as a small child. And then after his parents left the world to return to Godhead, Gopal Bhatta came and joined Roop and Sanatan Goswamis in Vrindavan. So Mahaprabhu stayed here. He had nice discussions with Venkata Bhatta. And Venkata Bhatta's brother was Prabodhananda Saraswati, one of our acharyas. Every day Mahaprabhu would have darshan of the deities, chant and dance. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur installed these replicas of the footprints of Mahaprabhu over here. And here is the deity. Very exceptional deity. He is lying down. Normally deities are standing. Even deities of Vishnu. But we will find in South India, in Srirangam and in a couple of other places, the deities are lying down. And he's lying down like this, using his arm as a pillow. So there are three doors, because if you want to take darshan from outside, one door is not enough, because you can see only one part of the body of the deity. So if you can't go inside, then you have to stand outside and walk through all three doors. Otherwise you go inside and you take the parikrama and come out. So here are some more pictures of the deity. And in front, of course, you see the Utsav Murti. He is called Ranganath Swami. Ramanujacharya, of course, spent a lot of time here. This is, so to speak, the headquarters of the Sri Vaishnavas. The most important place by far for all the Sri Vaishnavas. So it has a rich history connected with the Alvars, the 12 great devotees of Lord Vishnu. And Ramanujacharya is their follower. So there are many pastimes associated with it. The deity is very beautiful, and especially the eyes of the Lord. I'll just narrate one small pastime. One time there was, as Ramanujacharya was walking with his disciples on the bank of the river, he saw this one man who was holding up an umbrella for a beautiful lady. And he seemed to be completely infatuated by her. And people around were making fun of him because he was escorting her. Wherever she went, he would run behind her and hold up the umbrella. So it looked not so good, you know. Any person with some self-respect wouldn't be seen just running and then holding up the umbrella, you know. So, but he was oblivious to the mockery or the ridicule that of people around him. So he was so infatuated with her. So Ramanuja saw this and he was struck with wonder. He said, just see how this person is totally unconcerned with how people are making fun of him. And, you know, he shouldn't be doing this, but if only he had such love for the Lord. So he told his disciples, why don't you bring him to me? So they brought him finally. They went up to this man and they said, will you come? And Ramanujacharya wants to see you. He wants to see me? Yes, please come. So they went. So Ramanujacharya met him and said, who are you? What is your name? And he got to know him. And he said, so why do you go around behind that lady like this? It's one thing to walk along with a lady and escort her. It's one thing. But you're just running around her with an umbrella wherever she goes, and it doesn't look good. You're a respectable person. You shouldn't be doing this. So he said, but I'm totally infatuated. He said, but what? Oh, the eyes of this lady, so beautiful. He said, really? So what if I show you eyes that are more beautiful than hers? And he said, impossible. Not possible in this world. He said, come with me. So Ramanujacharya took him by the hands and brought him in front of Ranganath Swami. And this was the time when the Arati ceremony was going on and the lamp was being shown to the lotus face of the Lord. And by the mercy of Ramanujacharya, this person had a glance of the lotus eyes of the Lord. And the eyes of the Lord were so beautiful that he immediately forgot everything else. And at that very moment, he took shelter of the Lord and surrendered to Ramanujacharya and became one of his most ardent followers, one of his strictest disciples. So such is, there are hundreds of such pastimes that have happened in Sri Rangam. You can spend days in Sri Rangam and hear about beautiful pastimes. Actually, even though the Sri Vaishnavas, they worship Lord Vishnu as supreme, but many of their pastimes are very rich in devotion. And many of them are in Madhurya, like Andal, the Alwar, you know, they are in the Madhurya Bhav with respect to the Lord. Very, very rich in devotion. So I would suggest that the next time any of you get the chance to go to South India, go to Sri Rangam as well. It's very, very nice. But we have to move on. So anyway, this is also a self-manifest deity. And how did this deity come here? Actually, this deity has a history connected to Ayodhya. This deity was being worshipped by the descendants of King Ikshvaku, who were ancestors of Lord Ramachandra. So even Dasharatha Maharaj and Lord Ram, they were also worshipping this deity in Ayodhya. After Ram defeated Ravana and killed him and came back, and there was his coronation ceremony, Vibhishan wanted some, Lord Ram wanted to give a gift to Vibhishan, so he offered this deity. And Vibhishan was very pleased to have it. So he carried this deity, and as he was flying through the airways, at the place that is today Sri Rangam, he had to descend for some reason, so he placed the deity there. And then afterwards, when he came back, he could not lift the deity again. So Vibhishan was very disheartened. And the Lord said, never mind, I have decided to stay here. And it's not too far from Lanka, so you can visit me frequently. And just as an act of mercy to Vibhishan, the Lord is facing southwards. Although traditionally the temples, the deities face eastwards, in rare cases westwards for some special reasons. And in this case, the deity is facing southwards towards Lanka. So the Lord said, my dear Vibhishan, just for you, I will face southwards. So I am looking at you. So then Vibhishan was satisfied. And from that day on, this place has become very, very powerful and potent. Anyway, another important place that the Lord went to, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to, was Rameshwaram. This was just before he halted there, worship Lord Shiva. So there's a famous temple here of Ramanath Swami. You can call it as, you know, one, the Lord of Lord Ram, or one whose Lord is Ram. So either way, so Lord Ram came here. It is said he worshipped Lord Shiva because he's playing the role of a human being. It was here, a little distance called Dhanushkodi, where this is the deity, Shivalinga here. Again, the deity. This is Rameshwaram, the sea. And this is the place where Lord Ram started building the bridge. Or the Vanar Sena, the monkey soldiers of Lord Ram, started building the bridge across the sea. And this is where Vibhishan came, and he was admitted into the fold, so to speak. So the very important place for devotees. I remember when I went here, this was many years ago, I've been here only one time, sometime in the 80s, and this was my first visit, and I still remember vividly because one of our brahmacharis almost drowned in the sea. So one has to be so careful. And he was, you know, overconfident. You know, when you go to a holy place and there is a kund or a river or a sea, you know, I fear most those devotees who know how to swim. Those who don't know how to swim, I'm not worried about them because anyway their fear will keep them safe. They won't go in. But those who are overconfident that they can swim well, you know, you have to keep an eye on them because they underestimate the power of currents. So this brahmachari went in and we were saying, hey, come back, come back. No, I can swim. He went in and the current pulled back, you know, and then he was, you know, flailing his hands and somehow somebody who was there caught his hand and somebody else caught it. Made a whole chain of devotees standing like that, you know. And then somehow then we pulled him back and everybody gave him a piece of their mind, you know, after that. So therefore I won't forget this place. So anyway, so Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came here as well. And then he went further south, Kanyakumari. Kanyakumari has a famous Durga temple, but in that district, there's another place where there is this famous Adikeshava temple, where again you see the Lord is reclining. And I'll only mention one important thing about this place, although there are many things to say. This is the place where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu found the fifth chapter of the Brahma Samhita. The Brahma Samhita had many chapters. But what we today know as Brahma Samhita is only the fifth chapter. And the prayers that we chant, the Govindam Adi Purusham prayers, are only one part of the fifth chapter. So Mahaprabhu got hold of a manuscript of the Brahma Samhita, of the fifth chapter, over here in this temple of Adikeshava. And then, at a place that is today called Trivandrum, the capital city of the state of Kerala, which is called Thiruvananthapuram. Here is the temple of Padmanabh Swami, Ananta Padmanabh, considered very wealthy as well. And the kings of this place were like Rajarishis, saintly kings. They were great devotees. They always considered themselves as servants of the deities. So every king would deposit large amounts of gold and other wealth into the coffers, treasuries of the deity. Until today, there are many coffers that are not opened. A couple of them were opened last year. And it came, there were newspaper headlines everywhere on the television, the newspapers, it was all over because they found huge amounts of wealth. But this wealth was meant only for the deities. And the king, the person who is the descendants of the kings, very noble person, he passed away, I think, a few months ago. So he came, I saw his interview, somebody sent me a clip, in which he said, this wealth is not ours. We are only dasas. Dasas means the servants of the Lord. Whatever wealth we have, even our ancestors had kingdoms, but they all were meant for the Lord. So all this wealth is only his, and nobody has a right to take it away for any other purpose. So very touching to find such people even in this day and age. You know? So this was the famous Ananta Padmanabh temple, Padmanabh Swami temple. So here also Padmanabh Swami reclines on the servant, on the serpent Ananta. And here is the tank. As I mentioned that in South India, you find every ancient temple will have a tank. Very important, you know. The water for bathing the deities and so on. And also adds to the beauty of the place. So you see, water plays a very important role for us. And water is opulence, actually. Water is life. And plays a very important role in our devotional life as well. And then finally, moving upwards, he came to the place of Udupi. Here again you see the tank right next to the temple. And you can see the tower on top, on the right side. Below that is the deity of Balakrishna. This is another temple, Ananteshwara, right next to it. But this is the Udupi Krishna temple. This is the gateway. Again, the gateway. And Madhvacharya, he got this from the sea. This is the temple of Balakrishna. This is Madhvacharya's birthplace. So I don't have time to explain so many things about this holy place. But after that, he went to Pandharpur in Maharashtra, where there is the famous temple of Vithoba or Rukmini. This is the Chandrabhaga River. And now His Holiness Lokanath Swami has built, under his direction, they built nice ghats. Ghats are steps leading down to the rivers. And there's a nice ISKCON temple right on the banks of the river, the Chandrabhaga River. There's another few. And at certain points in the year, at certain times in the year, huge crowds gather here. In the month of Ashad for Ekadashi, people walk hundreds of kilometers to reach this place. They go on foot. And these are the deities of Vithoba and Rakumai. Rakumai means Rukmini. So Dwarkadish Krishna and Rukmini here. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Pandharpur as well. He went to a few other places, Nasik, Panchavati, the origin of the Godavari, the place where Lakshman cut off the ears and nose of Shurpanakha. He went to some of these places and then came all the way back to Vidyanagar, the place where Ramananda Rai resided. He came there, told Ramananda Rai to come to Jagannath Puri, and then Mahaprabhu returned from there to Jagannath Puri. And thus, Mahaprabhu spent a couple of years in South India touring all these holy places and finally returned to Jagannath Puri. So we'll end this series here. It was only a glimpse into some of the important places that Mahaprabhu traveled to.